Okay, we are in Exodus 25 and 26. started out with oppression at the hands of Egypt, and then we went through the 10 plagues. Remember, the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn, and then the crossing of the Red Sea, some trials they went through, and a hunger, thirst, wars, that they didn't do too well on in a lot of ways. Then Mount Sinai and the law came down, the Ten Commandments. We had that a couple weeks ago. Social laws, we went through some of those. And then in chapter 24, we were more into religious laws or the covenant. And in chapter 24 and verse 12, it says there, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction.'" And then down in verse 18, "And Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." So that's where we left off last week. And now in chapter 25, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. And this is the contribution which you're to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze.'" So this contribution that is called for here is voluntary. It's willing. It's, you know, he says, "Whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution." And then he describes what that's for. I mean, for the gold, which we're going to see in part of this chapter now, or coming up two chapters, is that gold was used in the mercy seat, the cherubim, the dishes, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the staves, the pillars, the high priest's dress. The silver was used for sockets, hooks, and fillets. Bronze was used for hardware, sockets, vessels, utensils, pillars, and pins. So we're going to see as we go through these the different things that this was used for. And then verse 4, "Blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, and goat's hair." So three colors of this material, and linen, and then goat's hair, which would be generally the inner hair of the goat, which is a softer hair, and that's what they would make these the material out of. Verse 5, "Ram's skins dyed red, porpoise skins, and acacia wood." So here you've got porpoise skins. Who's got a different translation for that? Yes? Badger. Okay. And so there's those two are generally used, although it seems like porpoise or seal is going to be more in keeping, because the word that's used there does have a connection with marine, something marine, out of the sea. So not sure, but and then acacia wood, let's see. I got some help learning how to do PowerPoint. So this is my first PowerPoint. So this is an acacia tree. And we're going to see some of the sizes of the boards that were made for the tabernacle. And this is the biggest acacia tree, picture of an acacia tree, that I could find. And when we look at the boards, we're going to see, you know, they're 27 inches wide, so over 2 feet wide and 15 feet long. And each of those boards, this represents these lines, these areas are the size of the boards. 1 inch equals 1 cubit. So you've got, so a lot of acacia trees, and now if you look at the acacia trees in that part of the world, there are no trees that have that size, you can't get those size boards. And they think it's either a different type of acacia tree or they were just let grow a lot longer before they were used up. Don't know for sure. I asked Kyle if he could find acacia wood. No? Okay. Okay, thanks for checking. Shittim wood. That's the other, and that's the same one. Yeah, it's a different word. And okay, verse 6, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense. So, of course, the olive oil was used for lights. There's going to be a candlestick we'll be looking at. Spices, in Exodus chapter 30, you've got actually in verse 23, take also for yourself the finest of spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250, and of fragrant cane, 250, and of cassia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. So it's a formula for making an anointing oil that of course, this is something that they were collecting as contributions. verse 7, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and the breastpiece. So onyx, and some translations will say beryl. It is a different stone, but onyx is probably the one because it's so much better for engraving on. Onyx was the shoulder pieces. There was two onyx stones that had six tribes, I believe, on each shoulder of the tribes of Israel. And so you think of how much engraving can be done. It's probably a pretty good-sized onyx stone. Onyx comes in all different colors. So, and then in the breast piece, there's 12 stones, and one of them is onyx. Verse 8, and let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. So here is the sanctuary. The word sanctified is from the same word, means holy or set apart. This is a set apart place for me that I may dwell among them. Now, in Acts chapter 17, I think we went through that recently, and verse 24, God who made the worlds and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And of course, Stephen said the same thing when he was at the end of his speech to right before he died. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. But in Exodus chapter 40, last chapter, I think. Yeah. And verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So in some sense, God filled the tabernacle. We know also that he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, but there's that's what we know. We want to see both sides of that. Verse 9, according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. So to Moses was shown this pattern. How? Was it a model? Was it something he walked through? Was it a written description? Somehow Moses, from God, was shown this pattern. And of course, we're going to make mention of this again. This comes up over and over again. So you shall make it. Follow the pattern. And it's a lesson for us. Verse 10, and they shall construct an ark of acacia wood 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. So this is the Ark of the Covenant, approximately 4 feet long, 2.5 feet wide and 2.5 feet deep. A box is what an ark is, a box, a chest, or a coffin. Verse 11, and you shall overlay it with pure gold, inside and out you shall overlay it, and you shall make a gold molding around it. That overlay probably was thin sheets of gold that was hammered out and then attached, but with pins or something, to the sides. So the gold crown, probably a casting. You know, when you think of the upper edge of that box having a crown, probably a cast gold. Verse 12, and you shall cast 4 gold rings for it and fast them on its 4 feet, and 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. So these rings, of course, are going to be ready to accommodate a pole to carry it. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Poles might, in your translation, be staves, and the ability to move this without touching it. And you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark with them. It brings to mind 2 Samuel 6 and verse 6 through 7, when Uzzah was carrying it, and it started to tip, and he put his hand on it, and God struck him dead. And David was confused and frustrated, but we go back to that verse that we read in verse 9, by the pattern, so you shall do it. You shall construct it. The rules that I'm going to give you, you need to follow them, is what God is saying there. Verse 15, the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. So when it was brought into the Holy of Holies, and we'll look at that in a minute, then it was those poles were left in it. And I think, never mind what I think. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. So the testimony would be the 2 tables of stone that you put in it. And you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. So this is a large, 4 foot wide, 2.5 foot, a solid piece of gold, of pure gold. This isn't overlaid on something. This is a solid piece of gold. And it's going to be the lid. It's going to be, well, the mercy seat, but it's going to be the lid on the Ark of the Covenant. And when you look at the weight of that piece of gold and the strength of gold in holding its own weight up, there's been a couple different suggestions as to the weight. One of them was 850 pounds, and that's at about an inch in thickness. So if you had it an inch in thickness, it'd weigh about 850. Half an inch, of course, 425 pounds, half of that. The gold in it at today's value would be somewhere between 11 at 425 pounds, 11 million and 22 million. And, you know, we don't know, but, you know, we're looking at what it was and what it did. And then the next, we're going to, verse 18, it says, and you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub at 1 end and 1 cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim of 1 piece with the mercy seat at its 2 ends. And when you look at that, what is hammered work? Hammered, I see Jim doing hammered work. He takes a piece of sheet metal and he's going to design a nose cone for a hot rod. And he starts hammering on that. And it's a flat sheet, and pretty soon the edges are coming up, and he knows how to heat it and roll it, and it's just amazing what he comes out with a sheet of metal. And he has something in his mind, and pretty soon it's realized. I watched people at the in a class at the UW doing hammered work from a sheet of silver, and that's how you've seen silver, like a pitcher, a large pitcher. But it starts out with a sheet, and it's just ding, 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 a lot of tinking, and just bringing that, and you actually bring the sides up and make them smaller, and form it, and just beautiful. And this is, as I read these three verses, that's what's happening, is the artisans are taking that chunk, that 4 foot by 2.5 foot piece of gold, and they're raising up two cherubim with those wings that touch over the top. I've got, let's see. There's one rendition, and I looked at a whole bunch of them, and I'm not impressed with because you think of what can be done today with somebody who knows as an artisan and can raise up something like what's being described here, and it's just stunning what is made today. And then you look at what did God do for the artisans that worked on this? There's Oholiab, and do anyone remember the other one? I don't. Oholiab is one of them, and there's another one, and God put in them an ability to do their job, and the Spirit of God in making this was in them. And so you look at that and you think, what did this look like? I think it is something we can't even imagine. Because what's done today with hammered work and what's described here with God's whatever that is in our minds, that God's craftsmanship, God is part of that craftsmanship. What came up there must have just been astonishing. It also, when you think about this, even at, I think, 425 pounds probably is at the lighter end when you think of holding its own weight up and bringing up these hammered pieces. you think of the weight of the Ark of the Covenant on those poles. I think you had more than one person on each corner, because once you got the gold all over the box, you got two stone tablets inside, and you got 425 pounds of gold.
That's just gone the mercy seat. That's not the whole weight of the chapter of
the ark
itself.
Right, right.
That's just the cap.
Right, right. And so you had acacia wood making the ark, but then it's all covered with gold. So Yeah. I mean, we're going to find out some. This is the light end of what they had to carry. We're going to find out. Verse 20, and the cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat. So, verse 21, and you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. So that's two stone tablets. There's a couple of different ideas about that. One of them makes a lot of sense to me. Whenever you have a covenant, you have a copy for each member, and that's the two copies that are there. So the two copies would have the same thing on each one. Now we know from Exodus 32 and verse 15, they were written on both sides. But whether it was, you know, all of them on one, or it is both copies, God's and man's, is not something we can be sure about. verse 22, and there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. So this is the seat of the divine presence, was that space between those two cherubim. Verse 23, and you shall make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide and 1.5 cubits high. So here is a, you've got a table which would be 3 feet by 18 inches by 27 inches of acacia wood, and you're going to put the what's called the bread of presence, presenting the bread or setting forth, the bread of setting forth. verse 24, and you shall overlay it with pure gold and make a gold border around it. There'd be gold overlay, would be the thin plates that were around on the table, just like overlaying the Ark of the Covenant. And then a crown around the top edge again, and you shall make for it a rim of a hand's breadth around it, so 8-9 inches around it, and you shall make a gold border for the rim around it. And it's, let's see, so I'm going to go past that to the Ark of Titus, the Arch of Titus. And this is when Titus went to Jerusalem and destroyed the city, destroyed and took all the things in the tabernacle, in the temple, I should say, and he brought them back. This was in honor of Titus's exploits. And on the side of that, there is a spot where you see in that arch where there's the candelabra, the candlestick is being brought back as a war looting, and then also you can see to the right of that there's some guys carrying something, and that is the table of showbread. Now, I realize we're looking at the tabernacle furniture in the tent. And since then, David's temple, I mean, after that, David's temple was built, or Solomon's, I should say, Solomon's, and then it was destroyed, and then another temple, Herod's temple, was built, and so what we're looking at there at least gives us an idea of what was there, because that happened in 70 AD in the Arch of Titus, and what he did was in 70 AD. So when we look at that, we can get some kind of an idea, because they probably tried to keep it the same. They had some instruction. They didn't have all the instruction that Moses had, but they had some of it. One little, for instance, on the candlestick, the base of it has some carvings on it, and that those carvings are Roman. So we know that that base is not reflect what. In fact, they probably added that base to what was there. But we'll look in just a moment at the specifics about the candle. Let's see, verse 26, and you 4 gold rings for it, and put rings on the 4 corners, which are its 4 feet. So this is talking about the table of showbread. Again, able to lift and travel with it with these poles. The rings shall be close to the rim as holders for the poles to carry the table, and you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold so that with them the table may be carried. Probably pretty good sized poles when you think of the weight, especially of the Ark of the Covenant. They had to be heavy duty poles. Verse 29, and you shall make its dishes and its pans and its jars and its bowls with which to pour libations. You shall make them of pure gold. There's more gold. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. So there would be 12 loaves always on that table. It would be renewed weekly. And then the week-old bread, the priests would eat, but they would replace it with fresh bread. Verse 31, then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. So this is just kind of going off of the description in the Bible. That first part, as far as I understand, the lampstand of pure gold, the lampstand, I think, is talking about this and the base. And its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. Now, we're going to reach another comment on this later on in a few verses here. But then verse 32, and the six branches shall go out from its side, three branches of the lampstand from one side, three branches on the other side. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in one branch. A cup, that word for cups is the word calyx. And it's when you see a flower, and if the petals are coming up right around the stem that comes up, there's a little place that cups around, is like a cup around the base of the flower. That's the calyx. And so that's the word that's used there. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower, so for six branches going out from the lampstand. The bulbs being a knob, it means to encircle. verse 34, and in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. And verse 35, and a bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair. So you got these bulbs under each pair out of the base, and for the six branches coming out of the lampstand. Now, in verse 36, then it says, their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. So it sure seems like this whole thing, this seven-branched piece, is out of one piece of gold. It's hammered out of one piece of gold. And, of course, having those craftsmen from God to make it, inspired by God to make it. That's amazing that it would you'd have a flat piece and you'd start splitting in it and then work each one like that. Verse 37, then you shall make its lamps seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. And so I put these these reflectors because somehow there's some kind of it was to shine light in front of it. If we look here in the inside the tabernacle, we would have the candlestick over here and the table of showbread over here, and these candlesticks would be shining the light over onto the showbread. So it sounds like there's reflectors there that were part of those candles. verse 38, and its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all its utensils. So here you've got, you know, snuffers and trays, but also 75 pounds of gold. That's a talent. About $2 million worth in that, in the candlestick and the tools that were used to snuff it out, to trim it, to trays, to put the lint in. Verse 40, and see that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown you on the mountain. Here's a repetition of verse 9. How does God look at following instructions? We hear this over and over as we go through Exodus, that see that you make it after the pattern. And we're to learn from that. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says we look at those things we learn in the old law, and we see things like this, you know, these admonitions to pay attention to the pattern. Chapter 26, curtains of linen. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. There's that skillful workman that God blessed them with. So there are 10 curtains here. There's a design of cherubim woven into it. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, which is 42 feet, and the width of each curtain, 4 cubits. All the curtains shall have the same measurement. So this auditorium is exactly 40, from here, it's 42 feet to the back wall. So this is how long the curtain would be. And then 4 cubits would be 6 feet wide, and you can, these tiles that are 2 feet square, I think they're 2 feet, right? You remember that? So 3 of those would be 6 feet. And so that's one of the 6 feet wide and 42 feet long. And then 5 curtains shall be joined to one another. So you've got 5 times 6 is 30 feet, or 4 times 5 is 20 cubits. But that's exactly the width of this building. And so the 5 that they put together was exactly the size of this auditorium. And now we're going to need 2 of them. And the only reason you don't put them all together is I don't think they could have carried them all. So they made them in 2 pieces, because you think of a curtain this big, and that's enough for carrying. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set, and likewise you shall make them on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. These are loops of blue that are made out of some material, and they are going to hold these gold clasps. You shall make 50 loops in the one curtain, and you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is on the second set. The loops shall be opposite each other, so I've just put them here. There's 5 here and 5 here, the blue loops, and then the clasps between them. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and join the curtains to one another with the clasps, that the tabernacle may be a unit. So it needs to be one unit. Verse 7, then you shall make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains in all. So here, these curtains are a little bit longer. They're 30 cubits rather than 28. And they're going to be the second layer, so they're going to cover the first layer. And the width of each curtain shall be 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall have the same measurement. So not only are they a little bit longer, each one, but there's an extra one too. So in both ways, they're a little bit larger than the last one. And you shall join 5 curtains by themselves and the other 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the front of the tent. So you're going to have a little extra to fold that 6 feet in half and pull 3 feet back to be the front edge. So you'll pull it over the curtain over the front of it and pull that 3 feet edge right over the front edge. And you shall make a covering for the tent of rams. Wait a second. I jumped down, didn't I? Join 50 class. And the overlapping part is left, verse 12, in the curtains of the tent. The half curtain that is left over shall lap over the back of the tabernacle. And the cubit on one side and the cubit on the other side of what is left over in the length of the curtains of the tent shall lap over the sides of the tabernacle on one side and the other to cover it. And you shall make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red. This is the third covering. And a covering of porpoise skins above, a fourth covering. So as far as we understand, there's four layers in this in this covering for the tabernacle. Fifteen, then you shall make the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of each board, and 1.5 cubits the width of each board. So that's 15 feet, about 15 feet high, and 2 feet, 3 inches wide on each board. And there's 20 of them. So this is the proportion here, because this is actually, you know, 1 cubit, 1 inch equals 1 cubit. So there's 20 boards here. So this is what it would look like. 6 on the back with a little room for corners, and then 20 on the other side. verse 17, there shall be 2 tenons for each board fitted to one another. Thus you shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, and you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for its 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for its 2 tenons. So here you've got the board coming down, a 15-foot board, a little over 2 feet wide, with some kind of tenons, which would be like, you know, if you put your table together and you have an extra leaf to put in, and you slide them into those little pegs. That's like a tenon. So there'd be a 2 tenons coming out of each board at the base, and then there would be a socket for each tenon. So there would be 2 sockets per board that these would fit into. in Exodus 38, it tells us a little bit about that. In verse 27, it says, and the 100 talents of silver were for casting the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil. 100 sockets for the 100 talents. A talent for a socket. Now, in silver, a talent is 85 pounds. Now, why it's different from gold to silver, I don't know. But that's 100 85-pound sockets. That's 8,500 pounds. And that's something every time they moved, they had to put those sockets as one part of that tabernacle and haul it. And that's several cars. So it just the weight that's involved in this is just incredible. Verse 20, and for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under the one board, and 2 sockets under another. And for the rear of the tabernacle to the west, you shall make 6 boards. and those 6 boards leave an extra 18 inches left over on the back, but we'll hear about that later. And you shall make 2 boards, that's right here. For the corners of the tabernacle at the ears, at the rear. So there would be these corner posts in the back. And they shall be double beneath, and together they shall be complete to its top, to the first ring. Thus it shall be with both of them, they shall form the 2 corners. There shall be, verse 25, and there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, two sockets under one board, two sockets under another board. I think I said six. I meant eight. There's eight on the back. So here you've got 16 sockets for the back, 40 sockets one side, 40 sockets on the other side. So that makes 96. Well, we read in chapter 38 that there's 100. So we're going to find as we go, we're going to find the other four here. We'll see if you're right. Verse 26. Then you shall make bars of acacia wood, five for the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the rear side to the west. So, and the middle bar in the center of the board shall pass through from end to end. So you're going to make these bars, and whether they were put on the outside or the inside, I don't know. But the one would go from all the 42 feet. So that's a long pole, and they're going to carry that. And then the other were apparently 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 was the long center one. And verse 28, and the middle bar in the center of the board shall pass through from end to end. That's the 45-foot pole. And you shall overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. That's a lot more gold. When you think of rings to put that together with and overlaying those bars as well. Verse 30, and you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you have been shown in the mountain. So, verse 31, and you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. So again, here is the veil that we read about that was torn from top to bottom. That's going to be right between the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place. That veil is going to go right here. There'll be four posts there and five in the front. Verse 34, and you shall put the mercy seat on the Ark of the Testimony in the Holy of Holies. So place that lid on the box. And you shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. So that's the arrangement. So, And you shall take a screen for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. So you're going to have a screen on the front of the tabernacle. And you shall make five pillars of acacia for the screen and overlay them with gold, their hooks also being of gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. So here you've got the sockets of bronze that are used on the five pillars in front. And I skipped the four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, their hooks being of gold on four sockets of silver in verse 32. So that would be those last four silver sockets. So yeah, that's right. one interesting thing that we're just happened to be in the same, in a very similar spot. Well, not a similar spot, but as we go through the book of Hebrews in the Thursday night class, we just ran across this talking about the tabernacle. And from Exodus, you know, the importance and the how grand it was and all the gold and how specific God was about it. And you have this really amazing tabernacle and that is put together with all this amazing furniture. And then in Hebrews chapter 8, we've got, in verse 2, it talks about we have a high priest, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. So this is what chapter 8 is talking about, is the true tabernacle. And when we get down to verse 4, and if he, it's talking about Jesus, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Well, now why is that? Well, he arose from Judah. He can't be a priest if he was on the earth. He wasn't a Levite. If he, Jesus, were a priest on earth, he would not be a priest at all, seeing that there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, those who are Levites, who are... And then verse 5, who serve that which is a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Now, who is that? The Levites, who serve that which is a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. An example, the word copy meaning an example or a pattern. Even as Moses is warned of God when he is about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount. But it's just, when you're in Exodus, you're looking at the detail and the amount of effort and going into making this. And in Hebrews, you see, well, you know, there's something here, and here's the shadow right off the top of it. And I want that shadow. It's kind of a silly thing to say that I want the shadow, but this is exactly what was happening with the Jews, and what the author of Hebrews was saying is what you're after, the shadow that you're after, it is a shadow. It's not the real thing. Yet the Jews were turning back and wanting so much to go back to that that tabernacle, which was amazing. It was very hard for them to let go of that. And that's part of the book of Hebrews, and you really see the other side of that, that the reality of all this is the high priest, Jesus Christ, in heaven at God's right hand. And so it's just something that in Hebrews, he's begging them in so many different ways. Consider this and remember this, that this is nothing more than a copy. So anyway, we'll stop there unless we have questions about it. Yeah.
I just had a quick comment that you could see it. How heavy the ark actually was, because, you know, we all know the story of Uzzah. They were moving it on a cart because they didn't want to carry it. And then, you know, Uzzah died when he tried to stable it. But then later in 2 Samuel, I was just reading it, later in 2 Samuel, when they decided to move it with human power, it says in 2 Samuel verse 6, chapter 6, verse 13 says, whenever those bearing the chest advanced 6 steps, David sacrificed an ox and a fattening calf. And that shows great reference, but it might also mean they could only carry it six steps.
Yeah, maybe.
And so that was kind of interesting.
Huh.
Well, if you look at the poles were significantly longer, so they could get more people to lift.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure would expect them to be longer than just one person on each corner.
Well, if you look at them, in the length of them as specified, they were.
Okay, I didn't run across that. The length of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we saw the length of on the sides of the tabernacle, but as far as on the furniture, I didn't see any reference. Maybe there is something I've missed there. But you would expect that to be, in fact, a lot of the pictures that are drawn about the carrying of the Ark of the Covenant, when you see, it's a lot of them have one person on each corner. And you think that I don't think they could do that. That would just dig so hard into their shoulder. So,
I don't know how much accurate, but for the lampstand alone, how many they have on that picture.
Right.
Just
right. And I'm as far as, you know, this is Titus's arch, so, you know, this is a depiction of how they brought it in. But I don't know about, you know, right. Anything else? Okay. Thank you.